The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online. Plus, we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Max Jeffrey and I'm joined today by Katie Balls and by James Johnson of JL Partners, the polling company. A new poll came out this morning showing Reform just 4 points behind the Tories. They're on 15%, the Conservatives on 19%. Katie, what did you make of it?
I think it will add to Tory fears about the Reform Party, about what the impact of Lee Anderson's defection last week to the Reform Party will have, and whether the current plan in number 10 to push the election to the autumn, which I think has always been their default, is going to give Reform this time to build up more of a presence and be even greater a threat by the time you get there. Now, it is one poll, usual caveats apply, and I think the Reform Party have made that very point, which is, you know, they're not going to get excited about their best poll and ignore the other ones. And also, if you're the Reform Party, what are you judging success by? Because Nigel Farage, who of course is linked to Reform, even though he's not the leader of it, and many of the people who work in Reform, they know full well that they can get millions of votes and not really have a single MP. But given Richard Tice has been pretty clear that he thinks his, you know, achievement or his mission is to bring down the Tory party, if you're judging it by that metric, this poll suggests that they are making good progress in terms of getting there. And I think the question is, if you have a strong Reform party, it's where you start to go from a point where potentially, you know, a Tory defeat or a Tory wipeout. And I think the stronger Reform are, the more MPs will start to think they're heading to the wipeout territory rather than perhaps a more manageable defeat.
James, how likely do you see it that Reform overtakes the Tories in national polling? And what are the circumstances that you think could bring that about?
Well, we're close to within the margin of error in polling terms of that already happening with this YouGov poll. It's a very small number of points between the Conservatives and Reform, so it could happen even naturally just over the coming weeks. I think one caveat about the YouGov poll is that YouGov has one of the less generous methodologies for the Conservatives because it doesn't reallocate the people saying don't know or that they're undecided. Firms like Opinion do that. That does make the Conservative position a little bit better. So we need to remember that it's not only just one poll, it's also just one firm. So we need to remember that caveat. But look, I think having said that, this is really worrying for the Conservatives. We've seen Reform on the rise consistently, particularly amongst 2019 Conservatives, men in the north of England, and amongst those 2016 Leave voters. We've seen that since about November really starting to climb up. And this is a continuation of that trend. It's powered by frustration about immigration and borders, but also by a sense that the PM is weak. We ran a poll last week for one of our election events, and we asked the public to say in one word, how would you sum up Rishi Sunak? And the main word they use is weak. That used to be rich, it's now weak. So you can be rich and strong in voters' minds, but you can't be rich and weak. It's the worst of both worlds. So there's a lot going into this, and I think that means that that trend will only continue. And of course, there's one big wild card in all of this, which is Nigel Farage. If he were to decide to come back in an active role, then considering his, you know, I'm a celebrity jungle popularity surge, he could be in a really, really good position to bring Reform, not just overtaking the Tories, but actually potentially quite a bit in front of them if these trends continue.
Katie, what are Tory MPs thinking about this poll? And also, it was the 1922 committee meeting last night, which seemed, by your blog last night, they seem to be in okay spirits, the MPs.
Yeah, well, I think first off, MPs who are already worried about Reform are just going to be more concerned. And I think that the Lee Anderson situation matters here because there is, when you think about why last week was such a bad week for Rishi Sunak, I think it's because MPs thought there were two self-inflicted problems. One was the handling over the racist comments from a Tory donor. And the other was the fact that Lee Anderson chose to go to Reform. And you go back to his comments about Sadiq Khan and his mates and Islamists. So you can say, well, it's Lee Anderson's fault for saying X. But I think the annoyance amongst Tory MPs is they feel as though there must have been a different way than just stripping the whip. Ooh, even having stripped the whip, but saying there was a way back, they think that the place where Lee Anderson got to meant that it was really hard to see how he'd get back to the Tory party. Hence, he joined Reform, and it was pretty obvious that could happen. So surely there must have been some way to avoid that. So I think this will add to concerns and add to probably annoyance about that situation to say, well, look what you just started. Now Reform could get even bigger as a threat. And I think to James's point, I think inside Reform, they think that if you start to get 15% regularly, that could be what tempts Nigel Farage to, you know, actually come on, come back, give this a proper go. Because we know that he is conflicted. He said that on Spectator TV recently. And I think that, therefore, is there enough, given that Nigel Farage feels very stung by the fact that he has won millions of votes and yet there are never MP seats, to think this time it could be different? Otherwise, Reform figures tend to think this is, you know, the first step, and actually after the elections when you might really get the Nigel Farage comeback, also after he spent some time in the US helping Trump. But I think the more the polls go up, the more tempting it will be for Nigel Farage. When it comes to Rishi Sunak and his pitch to MPs last night at the 22, this is the usual kind of end of term message you get. So it's not out of the ordinary he was doing it. It tends to be normally quite good for the Prime Minister as a rule, because it's filled with loyalists. Lots of MPs did show up to this, I think, at least, so across the party. There's lots of banging on desks, but in a way, because they know journalists spend the whole time sat outside trying to hear like a pin drop, they will make sure that, you know, a beleaguered leader does get a very big, you know, welcome. Someone's saying to me, an MP after, was saying, you know, actually, like, the longer the desk banging goes on, probably the more in trouble the leader is, because they feel they have to really say to people, look, he's got such a great reception. But I do think Rishi Sunak's comments landed well in the room. And I haven't spoken to an MP who thinks, for example, they made things worse. I spoke to quite a few who are critical of Rishi Sunak, who said, no, he's got to the local elections. We've got time to try and improve things. And the message he said was, you know, we are in the fight of our lives. This battle will define us. When the going got tough, when the polls were against us, did we dig deep and fight, or did we turn in on ourselves? I think the problem is most people think they're going to do the latter, which is turn in on themselves. But it is a message Rishi Sunak will be hoping that MPs took on board, particularly because the polls, as we've just discussed, have just become even worse.
And James, finally, the government's Rwanda bill was voted down in the Lords last night. How crucial is it that the government gets this through for their polling?
I think it is important, but I also think that the solution has now become a bit divorced from the problem. The reason that voters want, the reason that voters are frustrated by the Conservatives is because the Conservatives told them that they would stop the boats, and they haven't. If the Rwanda scheme stops the boats by the time of the next election, absolute winner, absolutely imperative. But the public are not tied to the Rwanda scheme as the way of doing that. And it seems, at least to me, that since the end of last year, the Rwanda scheme seems to now look like it may well not do that. So, you know, voters just want to see any kind of solution to make sure those boats crossings come down by the time of the election. If the Rwanda scheme doesn't do that, then the voters aren't going to give any credit to the Conservatives for sending one or two token flights. In fact, they're more likely to think, what on earth are they doing? You know, are they just trying to, you know, they're obsessed with this scheme even though it's not going to work? And are they just trying to show us a wheeze, basically? So actually, I think that if the Rwanda flights don't solve the problem, then they're going to be a problem for the government rather than a bonus. Just on that point on Reform UK and Rishi Sunak, I think what is most really interesting, and this is a bit geeky, so forgive me, but a really interesting contrast is how some of the commentators who and pollsters who run focus groups are differing from their analysis of the situation to those who just do polls. I've seen Luke Trill, who does a lot of focus groups, and we disagree on quite a lot of things, but we ended up sort of saying the same thing on just how avoidable this all was for Rishi Sunak. It is really important to remember that in the focus groups about this time last year, people had a lot of goodwill towards Sunak. None of this was predetermined. They thought he was quite clever. Yes, they thought he was rich, but they thought maybe he had a dose of strength in him. He was the guy that, after all, delivered the furlough scheme. But Number 10 and Rishi Sunak seemed to have almost gone out of their way to make sure that goodwill evaporated. And every time, sort of, you know, every sort of intervention since, we've seen that goodwill go away. And I think that is, from a Conservative point of view, the most sort of crazy thing about this poll that we saw from YouGov and the general narrative that we're seeing. This was an iceberg that could have been turned away from, and all of the ingredients were there. We knew what the Conservative 2019 voters wanted. We knew there was goodwill towards Rishi Sunak, but the Conservative Party decided to plough into the iceberg that is Reform instead.
James, what do you think they should have done differently then?
Well, I think that one is how Rishi Sunak's presented himself. People in, as far as I can tell, and I've said this on the podcast before, people seem to think that, you know, they want him to sort of go around sort of smiling and high-fiving and fist-bumping. Actually, people don't want that from Rishi Sunak at all. They don't believe it's characteristic of him. They want to see strength behind the podium, those kind of key leadership moments, rather than him trying to be their best friend. They don't think he's a rock star. They just want him to get on and do the job. So almost every public appearance by Rishi Sunak is currently running counter to what voters want to see from him. The positioning of the brand, as we would say in polling terms, is different from the strength of the brand or any remnants of strength left. The second thing, I think, is there's a few key moments where Rishi Sunak could have made interventions to prove that and didn't. One is the Privileges Committee into Boris Johnson. We saw a real change in the focus groups and the polling on Rishi Sunak's personal ratings when he didn't go and vote for that Privileges Committee ruling on Boris Johnson in the summer. That had an impact. Another one is we saw him come out onto the street on the Israel-Palestine protests, but 2 months late, voters wanted to see that back in November. And the third thing, I think, is immigration. I'm no immigration expert. I don't know what's possible and what's not on the policy side of things. But the criticism from people like Rob Jenrick, Suella Braverman, that he needed to go further, whether it was through Rwanda or through another route to stop the boats, that seems to me to be the only way that the Conservatives could get these reform voters back and shore up enough votes to deprive Labour of a majority, is through stopping the small boats. If Rishi Sunak had have done that, then I think things could really, really have been different. The argument back to that people often say is, well, he could never have done that. It's impossible. He should never have, it's never possible to do so. In that case, he should never have promised it in the first place.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And thank you very much for listening.